Queen Carvania stood haloed by the morning sun. An army hung on her every word.
My champions, I have sold my chariot on Carvana. 'Twas a lovely SUV, an inexplicably queenly offer. They're even coming to the castle to collect it. Tonight, we feast!
An offer you can feast on. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Now that the school year is officially underway, families are getting a clearer picture of where students are thriving and where they might need a little extra support. It's the perfect time to reinforce what they're learning in class and build confidence along the way. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's unique level and pace. IXL supports classroom learning by providing personalized practice that aligns with what students are already studying. It's proven to improve achievement, with results seen in all 50 states. Plus, one subscription covers everything for all the kids in your home, making it a time-saving and cost-effective choice. It's a resource trusted nationwide, and IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners of this podcast can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
We've got our take cannons loaded and ready. Absolutely dominant on deep routes. Absolutely dominant on short routes.
The boys are back, baby.
Excellent separation against man coverage.
This is Reception, Reception, the show.
Yo, what's cracking, everybody? James Coe, Matt Harmon here with you. You're listening to Reception, Perception, the show. Okay, today it's one of my favorite episodes of the year because today is the Bold Predictions episode, Matt Harmon. Man, we've got five bold predictions here. I've seen some of yours. You've seen some of mine. And yeah, man, I'm going to say we're pushing the boundaries of logical here. And I like it. You know me. I love this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm looking at yours right now. There's a couple of yours that are pretty spicy. So yeah, I can't wait to get into it.
All right, man. Should we just get going here? You want to hit me with your first bold prediction?
Yeah, first bold prediction here for me. I was kind of teasing this one on the car cast yesterday, or 2 days ago. Was it the live stream draft show that we did where you were in your car? Either way, I was teasing this one a little bit. Zay Flowers leads the NFL in receiving yards this season. That would be a pretty big jump for him. He's been incredibly productive over the course of his NFL career. I think he's 11th in yards since he entered the NFL. So he's been really productive receiver. In terms of him taking this next step, though, like the more and more I've thought about this Ravens team, number one, I'm really excited about Declan Doyle's offense. I actually think the more you kind of picture Lamar Jackson's strengths as a player, where he's really, I mean, this is honestly at the beginning of his career, he was kind of a guy that was like a little bit panned for his work outside the numbers. You know, like he's really good throwing over the middle, but he's not that great pushing the ball deep and outside the numbers, which is funny because like now nobody really wants to push the ball deep and outside the numbers on go routes and things of that nature. You want to be attacking over the middle of the field. That's Lamar Jackson's strength as a passer, is pushing it over the middle, which is obviously what they're going to want to do in this Declan Doyle offense, which is going to feel very similar to what they did in Chicago last year. So I think Lamar fits really well in that. He has some kind of, actually does have some, at least last year and maybe even the last couple of years, has some troubling splits between when he's using play action and when he's not using play action. He's going to be using play action a ton in this offense. So this is kind of a little bit of a Lamar Jackson, you know, prediction that I think he fits this offense really well. Mm-hmm. But the more I've looked at this receiving room, I think Jacoby Lane's going to play a role. I'm into him being like kind of a sacrificial X receiver. You know, we'll see about Rashad Bateman. Obviously, we've got off-field concerns there. We have no idea. And he's not been like a consistently targeted player, even when he's been available and been separating in the NFL. So, I mean, that just kind of is what it is. Ultimately, the tight end room, I think they are going to try to play a good bit of 12 and 13 personnel, you know, but I don't know that anybody there is going to be a real target commander like Mark Andrews. The reports out of training camp on Mark Andrews haven't been glowing by any means. Matthew Hibner, their fourth round rookie tight end, has been getting some pop, but against fourth round rookie tight end, Durham Smythe is obviously more of an inline guy who they brought over from Chicago. It's just like, how is Zay Flowers not going to run into a 30% target share with this team? You know, that's what happens when you play a lot of heavy personnel overall. So Flowers to me, I think is, you know, just set up to get a ton of volume. I think this offense is going to be good. And I think Zay Flowers is really, really good. Who's kind of a guy that's ready to take that fourth year leap after seeing kind of, you know, three straight seasons of really good zone success rate and reception perception. He took a step forward with a 75% success rate versus press last year.
All right. You say he's going to lead the NFL in receiving. What does that number look like? What's the, what is that, 1,700 yards?
What did JSN have last year?
I think he led 1,700, no?
Yeah. Last year, JSN had 1,793. Well, Kuka Nakua had 1,715. JSN 1,793. So, yeah, I mean, does he have like a 17-yard season in him? I think that's certainly possible. You go back to 2024, 1,708 is Jamar Chase led the NFL in receiving yards. You go back to 2023. We had 1799 with Tyreek Hill. I mean, 1799, obviously that's aggressive for Jackson Smith and Jigba. JSN did it last year. That's aggressive for Zay Flowers, but I do think it's possible. I mean, that, like, Tyreek Hill doing that in that offense. I mean, obviously Tyreek Hill's at this point, you know, to where Zay Flowers has been, he's not Tyreek Hill necessarily, but you know, there's some notes in the player comparison tool that you would look at and say, hey, could he have a Tyreek Hill type of impact on this Ravens offense? Which, I mean, I'm taking Lamar Jackson over to a Tuatagovailoa. I'm taking, Declan Doyle can be maybe in the Mike McDaniel tier as a play caller. We'll see. So yeah, ultimately I just think he's set up really well to have like an explosive yardage season. And it's like easier to make the yardage prediction with him, obviously, than the touchdown prediction.
Okay. I will see your Zay Flowers. I will raise you, you say about 1,700 yards. I'll try to raise you about 200 here. Yeah. I'm going to say Amon-Ra St. Brown gets to 2,000 yards this year. It just cracks it open. Look, Amon-Ra St. Brown has been one of the most consistent players in the NFL. I love the fact that he has expanded his usage and role in the NFL as well. We know him as one of the hardest workers in the NFL. And really, Matt, I think really what it comes down to for me is when I analyze the Detroit Lions, dude, their defense is absolute trash. Defense is so bad. They are going to be caught up in a lot of shootouts. Their schedule is incredibly light this year. If you're looking for a late round quarterback, I think Jared Goff might be my favorite one. So Amon-Ra St. Brown, bold prediction, 2,000 yards for Amon-Ra. And you know what's funny? I don't feel as if, if he gets to 2,000, this is a bold prediction, but if he gets to 2,000, people be like, oh yeah, Amon-Ra St. Brown. For whatever reason, because he has just been so incredibly consistent. I mean, he has a 1,400-yard season. He's got a 1,500-yard season. He's been incredibly consistent, and yet people don't really put him in that, like, insane statistical tier of like the Jamar Chases and the Justin Jeffersons of the world. I like Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's just an incredibly good player, playing in a good offense, in a good ecosystem, attached to a really bad defense with a really light schedule. I don't know, man. Like, Amon-Ra St. Brown, to me, seems set up to have a really incredible season this year.
Yeah, the current NFL record in terms of season yardage is 1964 by former Lions receiver Calvin Johnson. So we could get Lion here at 1-2 in your scenario. Cooper Kupp is number two, 1947. Julio Jones, 1871. Antonio Brown, 1834 in terms of receiving yardages. Yeah, so I mean, look, that would be an incredible season by Amon-Ra St. Brown. I love the part of your prediction that you mentioned, you know, maybe people don't, this would maybe finally allow people to kind of group Amon-Ra St. Brown to where I really think he deserves to be grouped. I have a video coming out on the YouTube channel. I think it should be out early next week. Pretty much making this case about Amon-Ra St. Brown that like we're at a stage where, and maybe some of this is just like small sentiment. I have no idea, but you still feel like you see people kind of, I don't know, caveat him as a top receiver and all that stuff. And like looking at his, well, number one, looking at just his reception perception profile, it's kind of like, I don't know that we really should be doing that anymore. Like, is he the guy that you want to, in a hypothetical scenario, run a go route as an X receiver, you know, and win down the football field? No, but pretty much everything else, hell yeah, I want him to do it. And
right.
By the way, guys, like, I think if you look at his production since he became a full-time starter in 2022, we're talking about like a Hall of Fame resume. 457 catches since then, which leads the NFL. 5,340 yards, which is fourth among wide receivers in that span. He's third in touchdowns with 39. You want to look at like the fancy boy stats. He's seventh in yards per route run. He's third in first downs per route. He's second in successful targets per route. Like they don't, when they give out the busts in Canton, they don't grade it on the hypothetical scenario of the go route against press man coverage as the X receiver. They give it to these guys who have bonkers production. And I mean, St. Brown already has bonkers production. And if you put him in the category that you have him, obviously 2,000 yards, like, yeah, now I think people would start to kind of come around to the point I make in that video, which subscribe to the channel, make sure you watch it when it comes out. I mean, yeah, he looks like a guy that's on path to a Hall of Fame candidacy at this point. And yeah, 2,000 yards would pretty much like now everybody's saying
cemented.
We were saying it first for the record.
Correct. All right. There you go. So yes, bold prediction. Amon-Ra gets to 2K here. All right, hit me with your second one, pal.
All right, second one here. We'll stick with like this guy's going to have an awesome season. Nico Collins is the wide receiver one overall in fantasy football this season. I like it. Nico Collins still goes kind of in the back half of the second round in fantasy drafts, and I think we've kind of talked around some of the issues that people have with him. One, injuries, and you know what can you say? What can you say about that, right? Like, what can you say about the fact that he gets banged up? It is the reality of the situation. He does have to stay on the football field for this to happen. But when he's on the football field, I really don't see any hesitation for projecting him this year. I'm not quite sure I get it. Like, he's second in yards per route since C.J. Stroud was drafted in 2023. I think that's important to say since C.J. Stroud was drafted in 2023, because whenever I put this like stat out that he's second in the NFL in yards per route run, people are like, God, we just got to get him a quarterback. I'm like, who do you think has been the quarterback this whole time? It's not like three Davis Mills games that people obsess over are the ones pushing up the production here. No, it's with C.J. Stroud as the quarterback. Amazing. Obviously, then in isolation, he's, you know, he's even better than that. 97th percentile success rate versus press, 92nd percentile success rate versus man last year. He's one of the true elite press man coverage beaters. And as a pure X receiver, 83rd percentile success rate versus zone, which it's really hard to be that X receiver and be a consistent over 80% success rate versus zone player. But Nico Collins has done it pretty consistently here the last couple of years. And like I mentioned, 89.5% of his snaps as the on-ball player last year in RP. We haven't talked about the Kayshon Booty profile, which went up yesterday. Monday. God, I have no idea what day it is. It went up on Monday. There are four players in RP history that have taken 90-plus percent of their snaps outside and on the ball. Two of them were New England Patriots last year. Kyle Williams, and Kayshon Booty. So look, while I know, or at least I've heard, that the Texans don't want to put a lot more in terms of like playing other positions on Nico Collins's plate, if we just get like him 10% fewer snaps at the X receiver spot, because we brought in a sacrificial X here in Kayshon Booty, who I actually think could play better as a Z receiver anyways, but still, like, we sometimes sacrifice him at that X receiver position. That's how Nico Collins really, really goes to the moon this upcoming season. So I just feel like, and also, by the way, last point on this, again, when we're talking about, you know, the whole fantasy community has been obsessed with it. Who's going to be the next Jackson Smith and Jigba, right? Who's going to be a really talented player who gets a little bit of a role change, but also plays on a team with all these heavy personnel packages. I know that Nico Collins isn't like fit the, you know, Ladd McConkey bucket or even the Zay Flowers bucket, because he's a little bit farther along in his career, but he has a lot of those peripherals kind of coming this year. Cause I think the Texans, after drafting Marlon Klein, adding Foster Moreau in free agency, they're going to play a lot more heavy personnel packages. So I feel like Nico Collins is another one of these guys that could get like 30% of his team's targets simply due to a little bit of a role tweak.
Dude, I like it. I like it a lot. I'd love to see it. I'm going to stay in the great state of Texas. I will go to Dallas, and I think Dak Prescott will have a career year. I'm going to go say bold prediction. Dak Prescott gets to 5,000 passing yards here. When we start talking about defenses, you know, I don't think Dallas's defense is very good. Not the worst in the league, but I just don't think they're very good. And Dak Prescott, man, he is set up to have a fantastic season. You're talking about year number two of George Pickens here in this offense. CeeDee Lamb, I think, just needs to stay healthy. I mean, that's the thing that's kind of sort of underreported in this Dallas offense, right? Like, they had an awesome offense last year, and they're arguably their best receiver, CeeDee Lamb, was hurt for about half that year, right? Like, so yeah. I just feel like, man, hey, listen, if you get a healthy season out of CeeDee Lamb and Dak and George Pickens, this is an offense that could absolutely go ballistic. So I'm going to say bold prediction, Dak Prescott, 5,000 passing yards.
There have been 14 seasons where a quarterback has thrown for 5,000 plus yards. By the way, Drew Brees has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them.
Of course he does.
And oh, by the way, then he's 16th with 4,952. So he almost had another one there on his resume. Yeah, I think this is definitely in play for Dak Prescott. The only thing I would say is maybe I'm going to one up your bold prediction here on this one, because I actually think their defense is going to be good enough. I mean, the bar to clear for being better than what they were last year is, you know, nothing, because I think that might be the worst pass defense. Now, I've been doing reception perception since 2014. I think that might be the worst pass defense I've ever watched with the Dallas Cowboys last year. So, they're already this great offense. Totally agree with all of your notes there. I think the defense will be better this year, which, again, low bar to clear, actually could be pretty much like league average based on kind of my projections this year. So if that's the case, the offense, I totally agree with you, is going to absolutely cook. CeeDee Lamb, you know, there's been talk out of the Cowboys camp like, oh, maybe George Pickens is going to be the number one this year and CeeDee Lamb's going to be the number two. I think really the take that there is just like they have the best receiver duo in the NFL. There's no question about it. I put out their two route success rate charts next to each other on Twitter. It's just the colors, whatever, but zero red routes between the two of them. I think they are probably the only receiver duo that did that last year. A couple of studs. The run game, I think, is going to be good. The offensive line is awesome. Clayton Adams is a dude. Brian Schottenheimer really took me by surprise last year. Yep. I think the Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl this year. They're my Super Bowl pick for the 2026 NFL season. So that was not one of the ones I have on my sheet, but we did file our Super Bowl predictions for Yahoo this week. Dallas, and I picked Dak Prescott to win the MVP this year. So I'm with you on the thought process, not to one up your bold prediction, but I think no 5,000 yards, but one ring for Dak Prescott. How about that?
One up it all day long. By the way, Dak Prescott has a 4,900 yard season. He's got a 4,500 yard. He's got two 4,500 yard seasons as well. So, 5,000 yards for Dak Prescott. My goodness gracious. Super Bowl for the Dak. Let's go.
I couldn't say that out loud. I've been sitting on that one. I just filed it on Monday in the Google Sheet. Haven't told anybody. Haven't told any of my friends who are Cowboys fans.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'm just leaving that one out there. Yeah. Super Bowl prediction. 2026.
I will say this. Look, I know they have a lot of scar tissue in the playoffs, but that being said, it's teams like that that, again, have struggled through the playoffs and they can lean on a little bit of experience. Whether that experience is good or bad, yet to be determined here, but I just, it is those kind of teams that do break through. But yeah, I'm curious, man. That would be good. They got to stay healthy, obviously.
Do you know one of the reasons I really buy it is I think Brian Schottenheimer is like the type of guy to get them through that scar tissue. I was just so impressed, and I, you know, things I've heard, obviously people I've talked to, I was obviously impressed with them schematically. And I really think the blend between Schottenheimer and Clayton Adams was really good in the run and the pass game. And then also the other part of this too, is just like Brian Schottenheimer was the guy that just could like handle the personalities, like between whether it's George Pickens or Jerry Jones or, you know, the Cowboys media. Like, I think he did a really good job with that too. So I think a guy that can like weather the storm of that trauma, I'm buying the Brian Schottenheimer experience. So yeah, Cowboys Super Bowl in 2026 wasn't one of the ones I planned on uncorking here, but since you brought that up,
amazing. Yeah.
What could go wrong? Dallas, trusting the Dallas Cowboys. in the 2000s, right? Like that's not been a good bet. That's not been a good bet since I was like a kid. But here we are.
The wait is over. Football is here, and so is DraftKings. DraftKings is now live in all 50 states, one app, every sport nationwide. New DraftKings customers sign up with code 2400, spend $5 to get $200 in rewards within 21 days. Includes all markets. That's code 2400 in partnership with DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-MY-RESET. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777. Or visit ccpg.org on behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas. Bet tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 and over. Void in Canada. Bet with DraftKings Sportsbook to get bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Or trade with DraftKings Predictions to get predictions dollars that expire in 1 year. Event contract trading involves risk of loss. Predictions offer void in New York. Non-withdrawable rewards issued as $50 click-to-claims every 7 days for 21 days. Terms at dkng.co/offer. Limited time offer. Nationwide based on sportsbook predictions and free-to-play sports contest availability. Varies by state.
I'm pretty confident in talking into a mic. Hey, I'm doing it right now. But home projects, I second guess everything. Is that noise normal? Is that water damage? Who do I even call? That's where Thumbtack comes in. Just upload a photo or voice note, and it uses AI-powered search to match you with the right top-rated local pro. So instead of guessing, you get clarity and can hire with confidence. For your next home project, try Thumbtack. Hire the right pro today.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Okay, my next one is another receiver one. I actually went all receivers on this one. Marvin Harrison Jr., 1,100 yards this season.
March to 1,100. Let's go.
That's right. I went back to, you know, one of your old playbooks here. March to 1,100 for Marvin Harrison Jr.
Hell yeah.
Man, it is tough. Obviously, this is why it's a bold prediction. It's tough to get there from a math perspective. It's tough to get there from just what's going to happen in the ecosystem. But it is part of that why I'm so excited about this team. Everybody knows I'm Cardinals curious. Check out the YouTube video if you haven't already. It's just like this offense, the more I look at it, the more I think about Mike LaFleur, the more I think about Nathaniel Hackett, like knowing his role with this team. I keep coming back to this point where, you know, people are just like, oh man, you know, Nathaniel Hackett, he's this like big boogeyman. And I agree. Like, he was not cut out to be a head coach. I don't even think he was cut out to be a play calling offensive coordinator. But I love this quote that he gave at the press conference where people were kind of dunking on him for this. But I think it actually makes a lot of sense, where he talked about, they asked him like, what's your duties as the non-play calling offensive coordinator? And he just said, you know, hey, like, I'm here to hang out, whatever. Like, and he was kind of joking about that, but then goes into, you know, yeah, I'm here to support Mike. And, you know, if he needs something from me, great. But if he doesn't, like, I'm just going to stay quiet on game day. But I'm just here to support him on game day, as well as putting together the offense during the week. I'm like, yeah, that's what he did for his brother, Matt LaFleur. And that offense cooked. And I don't think that the Cardinals offense is going to cook necessarily with Jacoby Brissett. Slightly different quarterback situation. Jacoby Brissett, maybe late season Carson Beck than Aaron Rodgers, obviously. But nevertheless, I do think Marvin Harrison is set up to be well deployed in this offense. I'm still a Marvin Harrison Jr. believer. So give me 1,100 yards, bold prediction for Marvin Harrison Jr. And I'm still obviously excited about Michael Wilson, Trey McBride, and all these guys.
I love that part of your analysis includes that Nathaniel Hackett will actually do nothing. So that's good to allay the fears.
When he's called upon, he can do something. But for the most part, he's just hanging out. Listen, everybody,
I love that.
Everybody
I love
has
that.
Been in that position in their lives when they go one step too far, right? Like, I think I'm pretty good at what I do right now. Okay. But, you know, if you ask me to host College Game Day or something, I'd be like, mm-hmm. Well, I'm probably not going to be very good at that, you know, but get me back in my little podcast box with my routes, you know, then I think I'm doing all right.
With my routes,
I think I could, do that, you know, but if I got promoted into some, I don't know,
oh my God,
hosting Sports Center or something, I probably wouldn't be as good at that. I probably would get fired like Nathaniel Hackett got fired. So everybody's sometimes in that situation. So yeah, please, no one reach out to me to host College Game Day. I know that was on, that people were looking forward to that. No, thank you.
Okay, that was on deck, but you blew it. Okay.
I blew it. Oh, well.
All right, you blew it. Oh, well, that's okay. I'm going to go a double combo here. I'm going to go to the Chargers. I'm going to say Ladd's going to get 15 through the air, and Omarion's going to get 15 on the ground. Not 15 total, 15 on the ground. So he's going to have a really special season. Ladd's going to have a special season. I'm hoping, and when we think about Mike McDaniel too, again, when you think about what he did there in Miami, it was highly concentrated, you know? And the way that this offense is set up from a talent perspective, it looks like it could be highly concentrated here as well. So I'm really looking forward to Ladd McConkey being the true number one. Keenan Allen is no longer there. There's no competition for targets there. And the tight end room is really interesting. I know there's been a ton of talk of like, okay, well, Mike McDaniel loves to throw the tight end. And I get it, and I agree, except for the fact that I just don't know if they've got a guy that's like, do they have a dude who can just be a target sponge? I don't know if they've got that guy. Like, I don't think they fully trust a Ronde Gadsden. David Njoku is a little longer in the tooth, and Charlie Kolar is a blocking tight end. So I think the tight ends in aggregate will get targets. I just don't think there's a guy there that's like, all right, we have to feed this guy the rock. And that's another area of the field where, I just think Ladd McConkey could truly eat. Again, he's an underrated speed receiver. He's got a sub 4.4 40. I think he can get downfield too. There's just a lot to like about Ladd McConkey in this offense. I'm going to, again, bold prediction. I think he really breaks through. Classic year three breakthrough for Ladd McConkey. 1,500 yards through the air. Omarion Hampton. You know what? This is like a three-part bold because, Matt, I have been extolling the virtues of outside run success rates. And by the way, if you want to find some of that data on the site, receptionperception.com, I am huge on this. And the more I look into it, the more it is true. Every single time I see a guy who can really get outside and run, those are the guys that really break through. And Mike McDaniel is known as an outside zone run schemer, right? You get his run scheme with a guy like Omarion Hampton, who through the charting has proven that he can really get outside. To me, it's like yards per route run has become this, like, again, very much like leaned upon stat for wide receivers. I think outside run success rates for me is like that stat for running backs.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. We need a stat like that for running backs, you know, because there is, sometimes I feel like end up sound like a yards per route run hater, because I think it is, you know, too, people are too zealous about it, but it's a really predictive stat. And I think it gets you into the ballpark. Running back, it's harder to get into the ballpark with a stat. Mm-hmm. You know, I end up using like yards after contact or this, that, and the other. So we need a stat like that, for the running back position. So I dig it. And yeah, Omarion Hampton is, he's such an interesting player. I feel like I feel like I'm going to get 4 weeks into the season and think like, oh God, I just didn't draft enough of Amarian Hampton. I just didn't draft enough of Amarian Hampton because, yeah. And I'll tell you why I feel this way, James, and you're making me nervous about it, is that when I've been in the second round of some of my fantasy drafts, you know, sometimes this guy there, it's not like a choice between these two players where I pick him over the other, but I do think like when I look at the second round holistically in fantasy drafts, I think, why am I drafting Amarian Hampton hoping he becomes Derrick Henry when I can just draft Derrick Henry, you know? And I think there's been like no drop off in Derrick Henry's game. And the Ravens also believe that too. It's not like they did anything to be like, oh boy, we got to have some Derrick Henry insurance. Basically like Derrick Henry gets hurt, they're screwed. Your boy, Adam Randall, like what's he on IR right now?
Yeah. I think he's on fake IR.
Yeah, he's probably on fake IR. You got Justice Hill, you got Rasheen Ali. Like they're what was the old quote about like why don't they practice with Jim Sorgi over Peyton Manning? Because we don't practice effed and we're effed without Peyton Manning. The Ravens are effed without Derrick Henry. So I've ended up with a lot of Derrick Henry and not a lot of Amarian Hampton. And I am a little nervous that like I'm gonna miss out on the Amarian Hampton big breakout, and you're making me feel even more nervous about it right now.
Yeah, no, listen, I just think it's a marriage that between Mike McDaniel and Amarian Hampton that I get really, really excited about. So again, yeah. An outside run schemer getting together with a guy that really knows how to get outside, man, sign me up. Again, 1500 through the air for Ladd, 1500 on the ground for Amarian.
Well, I'm with you on the McConkey one. There's no question about that. I think this guy can go crazy this year. You just got to stay healthy, and he's a perfect fit in that offense. He's a perfect fit with Justin Herbert. And I don't know if I've talked about, God, I'm losing track of like, did I talk about it on this show? Did I talk about, as I was reading off the Kayshon Booty outside on the line of scrimmage stats, I'm like, did I read that off on Monday? Did I say that on Monday? I have no idea. But what I was going to say was, I don't know if I said this on this show or not, but actually going back and watching the Keenan Allen stuff, it made me it made me feel even more confident in my opinion that the idea that Keenan Allen, you know, mogged Ladd McConkey is stupid from last year, because like that's a take I see out there from folks. Maybe I'm confirming my priors, but I already kind of thought it was stupid. I definitely think it's stupid after watching the film, because there's so clearly, like even in the offense last year, trying to set Ladd McConkey up for explosive plays on these big breaking routes, outbreakers, dig routes over the middle of the field. And they just couldn't hold up in protection. So the ball found Keenan Allen consistently because he was open, to his credit, still at this point in his career, open and just kind of hanging out there on the third. Like my buddy Hayden Winks at Yahoo's compared him to like the old man in the Y who just like would post up dudes, like on the third down marker, essentially. Yeah. And that's kind of what he did last year. So, you know, there was a lot of that. I think Ladd, as long as the offensive line can hold up, which they're already dealing with injuries, center's out for the season. They're still sitting here saying, we're not sure who's going to start at left guard. There's a game in like 9 days, folks. Let's go ahead and figure that out. That does make me a little nervous, but as long as the tackles are out there, I think Ladd can really go crazy this year.
All right. I love it. All right. Hit me.
All right. I made this one actually bolder as we were talking, because I was looking at the number and thinking, I don't know if this is bold enough, but I wanted to find a take here where I could talk about Jalen Coker, but also not talk down Tedero McMillan. Jalen Coker and Tedero McMillan's end of season yardage has a less than 100 yard gap. So I think that's bold enough based on, from a fantasy football perspective, you know, Tedero McMillan goes in a good range. I like taking T-Mac, you know, kind of in that fourth round, but he is the wide receiver 18 in ADP right now over the last 7 days on Yahoo. Jalen Coker is wide receiver 66. So, you guys can do the math, on the back of your hands there. That's going to go ahead and say there's not going to be a 100 yard gap between the two guys. I'm going to say there is a less than 100 yard gap between these two guys. I think that, Tedero McMillan is in set up for a really nice season this year. I think Jalen Coker is set up for a really nice season as well. This to me just looks like one of those teams where there's just not going to be a third pass catcher super involved. You know, the third receiver is Xavier Leggett, who has been a little banged up in the offseason. There are other receivers on this roster, and he's obviously Xavier Leggett. He's been an inconsistent player so far, let's be real.
Yeah.
I think he could be like a useful number three receiver, you know, at a non-embarrassing number three receiver, but that's about the best I can hope for Leggett based on both his prospect profile and what we saw from him early in his career. You look at the rest of the receivers on the roster, it's like John Mechie, Jimmy Horn Jr., who's like a speedy leverage creator that I'd honestly like to see a little bit more of to get these two guys, you know, favorable matchups. And then Bryson Tremaine, who I like me some Bryson Tremaine as like a sick pup blocking receiver, but okay, blocking receiver. He's not going to get a lot of targets. Right. I think that Chuba Hubbard is useful in the pass game. Jonathan Brooks can maybe be an explosive element in the pass game, but neither of those guys are going to be like Christian McCaffrey or Bijan Robinson and catch a bazillion footballs. The tight end room is kind of a collection of dudes, right? It's Darren Waller, you know, who's maybe your age. Actually, probably think he's younger than me, so that was stupid of me to say. Jatavion Sanders, Mitchell Evans, like nobody in here that's going to command a bunch of targets. I feel like these two guys are going to get 50% of the targets. And again, this is nothing negative on McMillan at all, but I think the talent between the two guys is pretty damn close, even though one was the eighth overall pick and one was a UDFA. I still really love my analogy of, you know, Tetero McMillan is Mike Evans and Chris Godwin to Jalen Coker. That's where I stand on that one.
Teteroa McMillan averaged about 60 yards per game last year. We're hoping that one goes up because he had just barely over 1,000 yards. Jalen Coker played 11 games, could not crack 400 yards, but in the games that he did play, averaged about 36 receiving yards per game. So I don't know, man. We'll see. This one, that one is very bold.
you don't like this one at all. Basically, can I make a plea for myself here though?
Yes.
On this one, number one, I think that you have to, with the Panthers, remember you got to include the playoff game. It's the game that happened, you know.
Okay.
It's the game that happened. Also, with Coker, you know, remember about this time last year, you know, it went from National Jalen Coker Day after Adam Thielen was traded to, you know, I was going to throw my phone off the top of the mountain in the Shenandoah mountains there on my end of summer trip last year because we got the news that he went on IR with the quad injury.
Yeah.
He was not, at least from what I have been told, wasn't really himself until like December, of last year. So that's important to remember, just to caveat the production for these guys. And I'm totally just doing a random split here. Okay. So I am narrative scouting on this one. That's fine. Maybe just doing this to fit my priors, whatever. But if you go from December on last year, December on last season, in terms of the yards per game for these guys, it's still obviously going to favor Tetero McMillan. But it does not. December on last year, James Coe, 60.8 yards per game for Jalen Coker, 53.8 for Tetero.
Wait a second.
If you include the playoffs, December on. So,
okay.
30 targets for Coker, 31 for McMillan, 15 for Xavier Leggett. Like, this is what this team was at the end of last year. I kind of think this is what it's going to look like this year.
Okay. I like it. Well, he's going to have to crack be like he was in the playoffs where he had 9 receptions for 134 yards. Last year against LA. So I don't know. We'll find out, man.
This is a masterclass in bold prediction, folks, by the way, because I'm not saying anything negative about McMillan, and I didn't even have to talk about like positivity for the quarterback, because it's just whatever the end of season yardage is, it's going to be a less than 100 yard gap. That means I'm not saying, you know, it's going to be good or bad. It's just 100 yard gap. That's it.
We're threading the needle, dude. I like it.
But it's needle, baby.
Yeah. This is surgical. It's surgical right here. Okay. I will go to Houston, and I will say David Montgomery. Well, most of our bold predictions are of the positive. This one will be, I have a few negative ones just to, again, balance everything out. David Montgomery under 750 yards total, not rushing total. I think David Montgomery in Houston is going to be an abject disaster. I think we're going to get about halfway through the season and realize that David Montgomery is A, washed, and B, can't run behind a bad offensive line, which Houston has. So for me, David Montgomery under 750 yards. I think Woody Marks, maybe this is like a two-parter, but I think Woody Marks ends up being a much better, more productive running back than David Montgomery. Dude, am I wrong? Like, am I just doing like the whole confirmation bias? But like, Woody Marks looks good in the preseason running that football.
He does. I'm going to have you maybe try to trash one of my fantasy moves right now. Last night in the Yahoo Fantasy Analyst League, I was, you know, needed kind of a running back. I took Mike Washington as my running back, you know, 3, just to get a little spicy with it.
No, that's good.
But my running back four, I was sitting there staring between Aaron Jones and Woody Marks. And I went with Aaron Jones. And I was so really torn. I was embarrassed how torn I was between the two guys. Did I make a, did I make a mistake in going with Aaron Jones over Woody Marks? Because, yeah, I kind of like believe that Woody Marks is going to play a role in this backfield.
I don't know if it's a mistake. I totally get where the hesitation comes from. Because, by the way, like, there's a pretty decent chance that Aaron Jones actually is the starter there in Minnesota, right?
Yeah,
like,
I know. Yeah.
It's not like they've like ruled him out. It's not like they're like, oh yeah, he's done. It's not like they're like, hey, he's washed. It's like,
yeah,
we wish we had a better running back, but Aaron Jones and Jordan Mason are going to be fighting for that lead role. So I don't know, man. Like I hear where you're going. I just like the upside. I'm always an upside chaser guy.
Well, yeah, I know, so you're an upside guy, but yeah.
Yeah. So I'm always going to be chasing that upside. So if I was in your spot, obviously I'm going Woody Marks, but no, I think the value there is about the same because things have to happen for Woody Marks to be the lead. Nothing really has to happen for Aaron Jones to be the lead. You know what I mean?
Right. Like he just has to be, he's not going to happen. He has to stay healthy, you know, in age, what, like 33 season or whatever this is for Aaron Jones. Right. So yeah, that's the unfortunate part of it, but he still is like a really effective runner. You know, Jordan Mason actually was, and by the way, I like Jordan Mason this year, kind of as a late round. I don't know what how you feel about, Jordan Mason, but I do kind of like him as a scramble, or not a, excuse me, a scrambler, or like a late round pick in fantasy this year, the whole deal. I do like him overall, but you know, he was super efficient last year, but so was Aaron Jones. Like he was pretty effective last year, just on a per carry basis and everything like that. So yeah, I still like kind of want to, I believe that like Aaron Jones could come out and give me some games this year. But anyways, the point on Woody Marks is that from a Dave Montgomery standpoint, I know you're super skeptical there.
Yes, I am incredibly skeptical of David Montgomery. So I don't know. We'll find out. All right, hit me.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code DIFFERENCE for 50% off select plans. Terms and conditions apply.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about, like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
A lot has changed since Bob's Discount Furniture opened its first store in 1991, but not the way they do business, aka the Bob's way. 35 years later, Bob's still carries today's latest trends at 90s-era prices, like the Aspen Sofa for just $399 with over 2,000 five-star reviews. Plus, it comes in two sizes and is the same price no matter which you choose. So everyone gets a seat no matter how big your 90s grunge band is. So stop in and celebrate 35 years of top-rated styles only at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Okay, next one for me and final one. The most boring one. I saved the most boring one for last.
Oh, okay.
Romeo Doubs catches 80 plus passes this season. I am really, honestly, again, to bring up the Kayshon Boutte and the Kyle Williams profile, I'm really spooked about the Patriots offense a little bit. Not that I think they're going to be bad this year, but just the design of like who is playing the X receiver spot in this offense. And, you know, Romeo Doubs was an X last year for the Green Bay Packers, but he wasn't necessarily a vertical X. And I think everybody is going to acknowledge Romeo Doubs is not like really a vertical threat. I look at the whole just structure of the passing game right now. And every report out of camp is that Romeo Doubs is going to kind of be like they talk about him more as the slot option versus AJ Brown being the slot option. I would be a little bit shocked a little bit shocked if we ended up seeing AJ Brown as, you know, in the Kayshon Booty, Kyle Williams mold of 90% outside on the line of scrimmage and, you know, 34.4% go route percentage for Kayshon Booty last year.
Oh my God.
That was the third highest in any season I have ever charted. Guess who number five was? Kyle Williams. Like, it is really crazy when you look at just how sacrificial those two, maybe Kyle Williams is their sacrificial X this year. I don't know, but it hasn't sounded like he's, you know, a top three receiver necessarily on the depth chart, although he's balled out in preseason. He's been making some of those sacrifices look pretty good because, like, he basically just catches a go route bomb every single preseason game. I looked back at this and, you know, I started charting RP in 2014. And, you know, to be frank, there haven't been like a ton of, you know, number like outside receivers to chart in the New England Patriots offense over that span. I went back to like Chris Hogan, who was kind of a 60-40 outside slot. So I don't know if that really counted. Brandon Cooks was, you know, back in 2017. He was not deployed this way. So that's interesting. But then I looked at, and I don't have data for these guys, but I looked at PFF data. 2021 Nelson Aguilar ran a go route on 34% of his routes that year. 2019 Philip Dorsett, 33% of his routes were go routes. Nelson Aguilar was outside on 92% of his routes in 2021. Like, is this just what Josh McDaniels does with his receiver? I mean, in fairness, this is not how Davante Adams was used with the Las Vegas Raiders, but at least some of these examples are interesting to me. And it just makes me a little nervous about, I'm nervous about, like, does AJ Brown get stuck in that role? And that to me is more problematic than I am a little worried about the signs of decline we saw last year. And I think that's going to make it look worse. Like, I think that would make it look worse if AJ Brown is in that role. I'm hoping that I'm just overthinking it and this is not so static, but let's just say it is. And even if it's not that static, I still think Romeo Doubs is actually, like, nobody cares. Nobody's talked about Romeo Doubs, but I think he's actually set up really well to be the clear-cut number two in this offense. Drake May is a dude. His routes fit Drake May really well. I think Romeo Doubs is going to come out here and have a pretty surprising season. I think AJ Brown could still be good, but I think Romeo Doubs is going to have a pretty surprising season this year.
Is there anything in Josh McDaniels' profile that suggests that he can get creative as the season goes along? I don't think so. I think what we see in early season is going to be very indicative of what we see late in the season. And the other thing I'll say about Josh McDaniels too is, I just don't know. I don't know how creative he is, you know, and you could make the case that, hey, he just hasn't had a good collection of wide receivers. So what's the point of getting creative with the routes? But
more of a reason to be creative.
That's also a great point, man. That's also a great point. But I don't know. Like, I know Josh McDaniels has built his entire career on the bones of New England and Tom Brady and all those things. But I don't know, man. Like I said, like, him away from Tom Brady, are we that sure that he is a guy? Like, I almost feel like he gets a pass, and I'm not going to be that guy that just automatically gives Josh McDaniels a pass. I'm with you. Listen, if he envisions AJ Brown as this go route, big body sideline receiver, it's going to be a problem. And it's also going to be a problem because he's so dang hard-headed that we could go 10 games into the season and he won't make a change. The only thing he'll do is say, AJ Brown, you got to play better. Like, because I've seen that script play out many times with Josh McDaniels. I haven't seen the script play out where he's like, you know what? This isn't working. We got to change things. That part I've never seen from Josh McDaniels. So I'm with you, man. I'm very curious. For me, it's all about, where does AJ Brown line up early on? Because I just don't think there's going to be much of a change as the season wears on.
Yeah, obviously I do in-season charting for the website. I'd write it in pen right now. AJ Brown's getting charted in week one for sure, just to see like what how he's moving, you know, the success rates and everything, you know, because I'd be totally willing to just kind of say, you know, I was wrong to be worried about AJ Brown signs of decline if he comes out in week one and looks like himself. But I honestly think the more interesting thing is how he is used, because that could lead to just more volatility. it's just tough sometimes too. Like, I think, and I, by the way, like, you know, however much concern I have about AJ Brown and some of the dip in success rates last year, he's still better player than Kayshon Booty, but Kayshon Booty just ran like white hot on tight coverage wins from a go route perspective. And it helps that Drake May is awesome and could just basically, he's placing some of those footballs. He might as well just like walked it down the field to him. You know, that's obviously going to help AJ Brown. Even if there's less separation, AJ Brown was still damn good on the contested catches, and Drake May is super accurate and really good ball placement on those throws. But, you know, sometimes year to year, that stuff can be shaky and volatile. Again, honestly, the prediction here more is about, if I'm worried one of the guys is going to be in the, you know, in the vertical X receiver role, I actually don't think it's going to be Romeo Doubs. I think he could actually have some sneaky. This is more of a positive Romeo Doubs take than a
sure,
and maybe a negative, maybe a negative Josh McDaniels take. But I think that could end up being like a positive for Romeo Doubs.
Can I? The last thing I'll say about this too, the reason I get a little bit worried is that AJ Brown is a gravitational force. Like, quarterbacks clearly have felt the need to throw to AJ Brown, even when he's not open. It's just like, we got to get AJ Brown the football. And Matt, tell me if I'm wrong here, but that obviously was not the case in New England last year where they spread the ball around. Drake May, I don't know what kind of passer Drake May is when he has a dominant number one wide receiver. Is he going to have the mentality of like, I have to get the ball to AJ Brown, or will he let the offense flow? And if AJ Brown is open, we get him the ball. If he's the first read and he's open, we get him the ball. If he's the second read and he's open, we get him the ball. But otherwise, we're not getting him the ball. What kind of quarterback is Drake May? That's, and again, I think that part of it is a giant unknown. And I'm curious how that might play out in New England too.
There's just so many interesting things about this trade, you know, and the reality is that it could just be as simple as AJ Brown's one of the best receivers of this era. He had a hamstring last year that kind of affected his play in the early part of the season. And, you know, he's 29 years old. He's got an injury history, but, you know, good receiver, good quarterback, go Burr. You know, I mean, that's definitely one of the possible to say something that I, you know, am too old to say. That's definitely one of the possibilities here. But I also think there's a lot of other, you know, potential outcomes here. But yeah, I do think overall, Romeo Doubs is just a guy that nobody's talking about. And I think is really developed into a damn good player last year who can beat man press coverage and win some, like, really wins at the top of his routes. And that was kind of what Stephon Diggs was doing last year. I think, like, it just, to me, it sounds more like if one of those guys is going to be playing in a role that looks similar to what Stephon Diggs was last year, as like a short and intermediate chain mover in the intermediate middle of the field, the whole deal. Like, I think that's more so what it seems like Romeo Doubs is going to be doing. And I think that could lead to 80 catches this year, just really solid production that nobody sees coming.
It would be a great bold prediction because Romeo Doubs has never had 60 receptions. His four-year career. Him getting to 80 would be a legitimate bump up for, again, over his four-year career. He has never had 60 receptions. Topped out at 59 back in 2023. So, again, this would be a true bold prediction, and I love it. Okay, I'm going to close out the show here with a couple of negative ones here. I feel like the Debbie Downer of the duo, but that's okay. Chiefs, I say, fail to make the playoffs again. The AFC West is pretty stacked and loaded. They did nothing to address their wide receiver room in any meaningful way. Their quote-unquote number one wide receiver was rehabbing in jail. Patrick Mahomes is recovering from a late-season ACL. And the questions and the whispers of the game passing by Andy Reid are getting louder by the day. So I will say the Chiefs failed to make the playoffs this year. I will, in addition to that, say Green Bay will finish last in the NFC North. And Packer fans are going to get really mad at me for this one. But I think when you trade away the talent that you have traded away, Micah Parsons is, again, you know, not going to be available early. And when your passing game is attached to two guys that have had difficulty staying on the football field in Christian Watson and Jaden Reed. And listen, there is no bigger Jaden Reed fan than this guy right here. I love Jaden Reed. Well,
maybe this guy right here. I don't know. Yeah, but either way, this is a pro Jaden Reed podcast. What are you doing here?
Yes, you know? But that being said, we have to be honest about the situation. The guy gets hurt. You know, Christian Watson gets hurt a lot. I could see a scenario where, and this is where the bold prediction comes in, I could see a scenario where both of those guys miss exorbitant amount of time. And LaFleur just, you know me, I'm not a big LaFleur guy. I think LaFleur will struggle to figure out ways to get to scheme guys open. And I could see an absolute scenario where Green Bay absolutely falls apart this season. In a lot of ways, I don't even know if it helps or hurts Jordan Love, but I'm curious to see how this might impact somebody like Jordan Love, because I think it's fair to say the football community is unsure of what Jordan Love is as a player. Like, is this guy actually good? Is he actually a stud? Because I tell you what, there are games where he looks like a top five quarterback in the NFL, and there are other games where you're like, okay, this guy's just been schemed up his entire career. Like, you know what I mean? So like, I'm very curious to see how this might impact Jordan Love. And I think this will be the season where we really truly, as a football community, figure out. And listen, there's a lot of Packer fans that are just going to be irate about this. Like, what does Jordan Love have to do to prove that he's an elite quarterback? It's like, I get it. I understand that narrative is out there. I'm just saying it's I think from a football community as a whole, I don't know if we've figured out what Jordan Love is as a player yet. So this will be the year that we figure out whether it is Jordan Love being an absolute stud or not.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Chiefs one. I just really, their division is so tough, and I'm just not really sure where they are as a team right now. Of course, they're the Chiefs. They could be great. Nobody would be surprised by that, but that's why it's a bold prediction. The Packers one is so interesting because their division is also really tough.
Stacked.
Like Lions, it's funny. It's a lot of offense with questionable defense, except Minnesota, which might be the opposite of that. I tend to think that the Vikings will end up finishing fourth and the Packers will be third, just because I think this offense could really go crazy. Like, I am very much there's a small movement, you know, it's not as big as the let Russ cook, but there's a little bit of like let Love cook going on the internet right now. I'm definitely in the let Love cook. Like, let's see what he's got. And I kind of think him calling plays in the second half of that preseason game was pretty bullish towards that regard.
For sure.
To your point about the receiver room, it is definitely well taken. Jaden Reed played with an injury, it's brutal, right? Like that whole thing. He played with an injury last year, and then got hurt. And then, you know, it was just like a lost season for him. Obviously Christian Watson's had injury problems. The rest of the receivers, like even Savion Williams is on IR designated to return. He's not starting the season. Bo Melton is back as a receiver after moonlighting as a cornerback last year. My old friend Sky Moore is on the roster.
Oh boy!
He might be the Christian Watson, Jaden Reed go down to be like Matthew Golden and Sky Moore. Even I'm not doing the like the nonsense I do with like John Dotson, where I'm like, I got the candle. I don't have the candle lit for Sky Moore, to be honest with you guys. J. Michael Sturtevant, rookie, classic Packers rookie, 6'3", 207 out of Florida. He's a guy that's on the roster. So it is pretty light in that receiver room right now. If they suffer one injury, God forbid two, Love's not going to be doing a lot of cooking, even if they want him to be doing it.
Yeah. So again, bold prediction, some negative ones there, but that's okay. We got a pretty good show here today. Bold predictions is my favorite episode of the year. How many of these will come true? I'm not sure, but that's the great thing about bold predictions. It kind of sort of, I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but hey, listen, nothing but positivity, positive upside.
The rule with bold predictions is, the hard and fast rule is, if you get it wrong, it's just a bold prediction. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
if you get it even close to right, you don't even have to be very right. You get to take that victory lap, big boy.
Yeah,
just
baby, let's go.
And sometimes when you're me,
you say
on Football 301 at the Super Bowl last year,
yeah,
the Jackson Smith-Njigba was going to lead the NFL in receiving yards, and you get it right. Bam. And you get to remind people at least once a month for the rest of eternity.
Dude, hell yeah, let's go.
So I don't think I'm going to get any of these ones right, but we'll see.
I don't know, man. I think I like the Marvin Harrison one. I like the Jalen Coker one now as well. I wasn't in on it, but now I'm
You've looked at the numbers, James.
Yes, we have. We have. All right, so there you go. Anyways, great show. As always, go to receptionperception.com to go check out the latest profiles from Matt, myself, and Alfredo Brown. But we got to go. For Matt Harmon, I'm James Coe. We'll see you, but remember, it's never too late to chase your dreams.
Peace.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.